The fourth, guys. This is the two-year-old Colts and Geldings final, and our Waikiki Beach, $1.20. Shadow Sachs, $6. Born to Rock and Roll is at $9. Well, I don't think there's any chinks in the armour of this horse, Blake.
No, $1.20 is over the odds. He's a genuine $1.10 chance. He will roll across at his leisure. If they don't give him the front, which I couldn't see any reason why they wouldn't, he'll sit parked and he'll blow them away. He's just too good. He's won 11 from 11. He's been untouchable. Mark Purden didn't even look like getting to the bottom of him on semi-final night. He was cruising home. Zidana, who will again be one of his main dangers and should get a nice soft run, couldn't pick him up at Ballarat and he wasn't let go. So from everything we just heard from Mark Purden about the horse, from what we know about him, Barrier 7 is not going to stop him, and the $1.20, it's good value if you're playing multiples. He should win. Clearly Shadow Sachs and Zidana along the pegs are going to be the horses running into it late, and they'll likely make up the rest of the placings, and then you're out to horses maybe like Emiliana at massive odds that is getting better all the time and could be one to find the line hard. But Bonners, he's just too good, isn't he?
Funny sort of a situation here, because he's won 11 from 11, but the reason that he's the aura is around him is as much from what Mark Purden said about the horse as what he's achieved. So, drawn outside the front line with some nice horses inside him, if Mark hadn't made the proclamations that he has, you'd say genuine $1.30, $1.40 shot should win.
Horses don't win 11 in a row as two-year-olds. They don't do it. I mean, they do it. It's been done. But they don't do it as clearly and as decisively as he has.
No, look, that's
Gary's advice.
Gary's advice, Longbow Pocket Watch. So they do it. But
correct.
The question is that most of the time, what happens in New Zealand and even Menangle is he's just been gifted the lead.
And that's it.
This is a $300-something-thousand-dollar race. So a 300 and...
288?
$288,000 race. So there's a big chance that this is going to be his toughest assignment of all time. They may choose to park him. They may prat him even wider. Look, the likelihood is he'll get the lead and he'll win. Once again, I don't want to be jumping into the $1.20. It just seems crazy odds for a horse drawn outside the front line when there's so many permutations after the start. But having said that, he really, really should be winning. And as I mentioned, if you do like that Mark Purden purge that's being offered by TAB, you can pretty much lock our Waikiki Beach in as one of Purden's winners. If you're looking for horses who are dangerous, Shadow Sachs, he ran some incredible sectionals at Ballarat last Saturday night, even though he looked a little bit disappointing. Zidane is a horse who's still on the up. And if you're looking for a couple of horses at massive place odds that you can have just $10 on, Smith Stars Lexus and Emiliana. If a number of the other ones are racing
both
to win,
11 for the place.
So you're looking at a scenario, if some of the other ones like Born to Rock and Roll, Shadow Sachs are racing to win, and they might get carved up a bit early, then they're two sit sprinters who are going well enough to run one of them to run a place. So $11 exorbitant odds. I'm not saying have 100 on both of them, but 10 or 20 will be worth it for the ride, I'd say.
All right, on to the fillies final for the two-year-olds. Market with Tab here. Guys, I Dream About Me, $1.40. Hotshot Woman, $3.50. Then Heaven's Trend, $11. Then $19 for Get in the Groove, Jace.
There are exceptions to prove every rule, and I guess this is one of them. I just spoke about the fact that you'd want to be leading to be taking short odds and dictating and bullying from the top end. Well, this is a race with a horse drawn the second line who's likely to be caught parked and have to make a move in a quick mid-race sectional, and I still say she is the one dead-set, stone-cold moral of the program. I'll be taking her one out through all of my quaddies. Our Dream About Me. Look, I was at Ashburton on Jules Day and she was extraordinary there, having to work three wide, sit park through the middle stages on brutal times, and she was just way too good for her rival. She faces an easier race here. I've got respect for Hotshot Woman, but I'm just not sure she's even in the same world as Our Dream About Me. So this is the best bet on the program for mine, and I've got a funny feeling that she'll start longer than what she is fixed on at the moment. I think there'll be a push away from her because with so much talk about Our Waikiki Beach, Follow the Stars, there hasn't been a lot of focus on Our Dream About Me, and some people are going to start thinking, well, Hotshot Woman might be able to lead and win here. I don't think that'll happen. If you're looking for a little bit of value in exotic, Zabibo, I think will get across to the pegs first. Her last two runs have been really, really good, and I think she'll place if she can get across to the pegs first. Then you're out to Hotshot Woman. And Dancing with Sierra is another one, a big place odds, $5 or $6 a place that I'd be willing to entertain. Place only, but Our Dream About Me, dead set moral, Blake, are you with me? Am I right?
At what odds would I have to consider her to be a dead set moral? I think she's $1.40. I think she's $1.50 chance. Okay. I think she's about her right odds. I couldn't see any reason why she would be losing, but the outside of the second row or thereabouts puts a little bit of a knock on it. Heaven's Trended her best. He's clearly still a very talented horse.
I'll give you a little bit more information. Yes. Hotshot Woman's expected to lead this race, and Our Dream About Me has drawn
right behind it. Correct. So talking about following through, that could be an option there for Our Dream About Me to get up to the chair pretty quickly. I don't think she'll find the lead, but she'll certainly be able to park and assert her dominance at some stage of the race. In terms of whether she drifts too much, I couldn't see her starting more than $1.50 just because there really is only one genuine threat, and Hotshot Woman, I'm not sure she's a genuine threat when you get right down to the nuts and bolts of it. I know she's going well, but I just don't think she can beat a low-flying Our Dream About Me. So do you throw in her multi? She's probably the one that I will throw in and possibly regret later. I think she has to go in just because she looks a genuine $1.50 chance. She looks the best of them, even from the barriers. So I think she'll be winning. If you are looking for summit value, as Bonners has already said, Dancing with Sierra is a good option. I think Zabibo similarly. And one horse that will go around at 150-1 even is Celebrity Guest. I thought her run at Ballarat was quite okay. Yep. She's been a horse that's always had a lot of ability. She can finish really hard, and no doubt they'll go quickly in this with Hotshot Woman leading, so she could be a horse to throw in there at massive odds to run third or fourth. Of course, we do have the $5,000 jackpot first falls on every race and $20,000 pool guarantees. That'll be the way to play for most of them because you'll have short price favourites. You'll have to stand them out or rove them.
Yep.
So yeah, Celebrity Guest is one I'd be considering for that sort of bet type.
All right, on to the fillies division, three-year-old. The Orange Agent, $1.60. Amaretto is $3.40. Start Dreaming, $6.50. Then Katy Perry at $13. On gate speed on Tuesday, guys, you had a chat to the lady who'll be aboard Amaretto in Ash Seeker.
Ash, I'm really interested. It's been a relatively long season for Amaretto. You've had her peaking through most of the good races. She's been fantastic through a lot of them. Coming towards the end of the season, is there any little concern that maybe breaking a track record, having to follow such a hot speed last time, has taken a little bit out of her, or has she pulled up since the run?
Yeah, no, definitely not. She went around on Saturday night, and honestly, she got back to the stables, and you wouldn't have even thought she went around, and I know it was impressive and it broke the record, but I didn't pull her plugs or turn my whip around. She had plenty in reserve, so she has been up for the whole season, but she hasn't had a whole lot of racing around the sort of Bathurst Gold Crown kind of like March. We had a little bit of trouble with her legs and a couple of sort of issues went wrong there, so her campaign then sort of for the Victorian Oaks wasn't sort of ideal, and it's just sort of saw the end of her there, but we since got her right, and she's been very well looked after and just sort of targeted for the feature races. So she's done a bit of traveling, but to her credit, she's such a professional, and nothing sort of bothers her. She just, you know, she doesn't use an ounce of energy until she's in the race, and she always sort of pulls up well afterwards, and yeah, like I said, she just does what she has to.
Ash, Cody Winnell here. Well done on the win in the semi-final with Amaretto. Obviously ran second in the Breeders' Challenge final, I think it was, up at Menangle. Punters will look at the form there and they'll see that it broke and must have done a very good job. Can you just talk us through that run and also the Queensland Derby run when you took it up against the boys?
Yeah, she just had a little bit of a malfunction in that Breeders' Challenge. It's very out of character for her to do that, but she ran an exceptional race that day, and the section was in the run home was sort of out of his world, and we then took her up to Brisbane for the Oaks, where again she didn't have much luck. She drew 12 and sort of had the better one sort of had that bit of a head start on her, but her sectionals home again were pretty outstanding, and we then sort of backed her up. We thought she was good enough for the Derby, and again, didn't have a whole lot of luck. She got shuffled back and was almost hard held on the line, but ended up sort of coming fifth. But there wasn't much between second and fifth that night either. So
for sure,
she's been a very unlucky horse. She definitely deserves a Group One, that's for sure.
And you've drawn the pole, which gives you an obvious advantage over those horses drawn the back. Talk us through tactics. Amaretto has shown gate speed. Is the plan to lead early, and then what's ideal from there?
Yeah, no, definitely. She absolutely flies the gate, and going forward we'll lead and just roll along and dictate turns. We've definitely got the advantage on the main dangers, which is drawn out the back. So our tactics heading into Sunday would be lead and just roll along. And they're going to be doing a lot of work to sort of get to her, and I'm not sure they can outstay her because her sectionals can be pretty outstanding, and especially around a track like Melton where it is a bit leader biased. Our horse couldn't be better. We're just roll along and catches if they can.
And you've also got Zabibo, so good luck with that horse as well. That ran a mighty race in the semis.
Yeah, she did. She's done a pretty good job this season. She's had her fair share of issues too, and she ran a really good race on Saturday night. She's got exceptional gate speed, and she's one of those fillies the distance definitely suits. And she's up there, which she should be from the draw. She'll definitely be a player as well.
Where trots racing is always more intense. On your digital radio, smartphones and the web. This is Carnival, your feature events channel.
Ash Seeker with the lads on Tuesday talking about Amarito. But Bonners, she has rather a large hurdle called the Orange Agent to overcome.
And I don't think I think it's completely fair to say without sounding sexist that Ash is probably worth turning up to Tabcorp Park for herself. A very, very attractive young lady and a very talented young horsewoman. She's got Zabibo as well in the previous race, Ash Seeker, and she's building a very good team. She's got a huge opinion of Amaretto, and obviously she's been talking really tough all week, and she probably has to because you'd rarely see a situation where a horse like Amaretto has broken the Ballarat track record as a three-year-old filly last weekend and still can't get near favouritism. It's quite a bizarre situation. The Orange Agent is held in such esteem that she remains $1.60 even after that's happened. And I am tipping the Orange Agent on top because I've gone through all of her incredible performances in New Zealand this season, and she can win from anywhere. The 2,240 metres at Melton on British Crown Day, you normally have to be somewhere at the head of affairs. She doesn't need to be because her turn of foot is so special that if she's three wide with 8 to 12 metres of them when the heat goes on, she can still run past them. I've always loved Amaretto. I think she's a real threat here. An interesting one, Blake. I don't know. I'd like your opinion on this. She keeps talking about how Amaretto's best in front and can roll along. I personally view her more as a sit sprinter, probably, with a great turn of foot. So interesting that she's so keen to lead and try and run them along from there. And because of the draws and the nature of the race, I'm even throwing Start Dreaming, a horse you've been talking up for a while, Blake, in as a winning hope. If I was playing quaddies, and I will be, no doubt about it, I'll have 1, 10, and 11 in. I might carve them up a bit, but I think they all go in some way, shape, or form. But I'm still with the Orange Agent. Things are obviously made a lot tougher from the draws, but she's a very, very special filly, Blake.
She is, and if I'm being brutally honest, this race confuses me a lot. I think the start could be interesting. Come collect. A lot of people won't be expecting this. She's a flying beginner. If David Miles chances his arm at the start, there's a little chance he gets across Amaretto, who would undoubtedly or almost undoubtedly go for the retake if Keyang Ebony Rose wasn't first there. I think a lot could happen at the start. You're probably safest to expect Amaretto will hold the lead, and that's the way I think it will pan out. But in terms of the overall makeup of the race, I don't really know what the Orange Agent had left in the tank at Ballarat. She went blistering time that last half, so you wouldn't have expected her to lift a lot, but she was given a little bit of a tap-up late by Barry Purden, and she didn't find much. Start Dreaming from the worst barrier, got close to her, clearly closing the gap, as you say, Jace. So in terms of the race itself, it's very confusing to me. I don't think a Katy Perry or a Keyang Ebony Rose, a Starburst girl, can blow them out, Soho Tokyo. But at the same time, I'm not overly confident which of the three will be winning, so in terms of those quaddies and multiple bets, I'd only be taking the three of them, but I don't know that I'd split them. I wouldn't be anchoring one over the other two. Yep. I think you probably just play all three and hope you get your roughest result and Start Dreaming.
Yep.
Well, the next one, guys, this is for the four-year-olds, the Entires and Geldings. Messini's $1.80. Hector JJ at $2.90. My General Lee at $8. Then Mactira Lad is at $15. Messini's a pretty smart pacer, Blake.
He is, but we've got some evidence to go on from the past 6 months, and that is that Hector JJ can cross him relatively comfortably. At least if Simone Walker pushes the button, you'd think he'd get across again, as he did in a Vic Bred Super Series final. And they like to hand up with Hector JJ, so if My General Lee comes a knocking early, there's every chance he'll hand over. That puts Messini three pegs. Now, in a Vic Bred Super Series final, Hector JJ came off the pegs when some gaps opened, and that gave Messini a run up behind him. He got out in time. He was too strong. This will be a different race. It won't be as much as a war because Major Crocker won't be in front. I think the field will stay pretty compact coming into that straight. And if Messini's three pegs, $1.80 is poison. And I think it's poison anyway. Me and Bonner's going to be on the same wavelength here. But Hector JJ, this is his big shot. He's had three or four goes at winning a Group 1. He hasn't had a lot of luck, but this is it. He's going to be behind the leader at worst. He's still low flying. He's the freshest one coming in. The one thing that Messini's done in the last week is that he's shown a turn of foot at Melton. Mm-hmm. He's been known more of a stayer. He really did finish hard at Melton last week in better grade or in open class grade, drops back to four-year-old grade. But Hector JJ, he's fresh. He's ready to roll. He should lead. He'll probably hand up. I think he's your winner. In terms of value, McTerra Ladd's certainly able to run a place at big odds, even from the awkward draw. And arguably the most interesting horse of the entire day is San Carlo. This horse has had five starts, I believe, for five wins for Steve O'Donoghue and Beck Bartley. And he was untouched in a 155.5 mile at Swan Hill last time when he was three wide the trip. Now, it's a massive step up in grade, but he has a lot of qualities about him that suggest he's going to be a really, really top-line pacer in the future. So at 20-1, maybe he just blows them away. But in terms of your overall day at $2.90, he's the best of the best for mine, Hector JJ. He's the one I want to be on.
Bonners?
Yeah, no, I'm with Hector JJ as well. My my love for the horse is very well known, and I've got a similar playbook to Blakey. I think he'll spear to the front. I've got no doubt he's got too much early speed for Messini. Then he'll either allow the retake from Messini or hand up to my General Lee, and that's all there is to it. So he's going to be behind the leader. I don't think Simone Walker will try and lead all the way with him. So, but no matter what happens, he's the horse to beat. Messini may well be the best horse going forward. These are the future Grand Circuit horses we're looking at, some of them. And Messini, based on what he did last weekend at Tabcorp Park Melton, will go straight, make a smooth transition to the Grand Circuit. He's aiming for the New Zealand Cup after Sunday's race, and there's no reason why he won't be very competitive. I think he's fourth favourite in really early markets in New Zealand for the New Zealand Cup. So that's his esteem in which he's held. My General Lee, as I mentioned, is the only other winning hope. And the reason that he's the other winning hope, David Morris told me he'd improved sharply from last week's performance. He's a very, very high-class animal, and he's a chance of getting the front. If he gets the front, it'd be tough to beat. I think only one of those three can win, but these are the other horses that you can look forward to seeing feature in major races in the future. McTerra Ladd, Major Croc is already a Group 1 winner, so is Let Us Rock Them, and of course San Carlo, who's undefeated and is a complete excitement machine. So, incredibly strong race, but because of the way the draws have fallen, only three winning hopes, 1, 4, and 5.
1, 4, and 5. Race of the day for most people is the three-year-old. Followed the Stars, $1.90 for Colts and Geldings, obviously. Menengate, $2.40. My Kiwi Mate, $9. Then He's Light Fingered is at $18.